The angels were singing and the lights were bright today as Elon Musk and Donald Trump held a drop the mic performance on government waste. The angels gathered for a different reason today as the Fargo PD held a memorial ceremony for an officer lost in the line of duty 9 years ago. And the angels had to have been rejoicing today as the president took another major step to honoring our girls and women in sports. Good afternoon, friends. Steve Hallstrom here for you the next couple hours here for the Steve Hallstrom Show. Good to be with you every weekday afternoon at this time. I love getting into the studio here mid to late afternoon and catching up on the day. It's my show and tell project. All the things that I have found, all the things I have learned that happened today, and I bring it to you here these 2 hours in the late afternoon. Addison Loger, my producer and colleague, helping us make everything go behind the scenes smooth as silk, and so we appreciate Addison and all of his work today and always. As always, a lot of ground to cover. We're going to get right to it today because there's so much going on. We are going to cover a lot of ground today, but I am most excited to bring you what I believe might be the best 15 minutes that I have heard in years when it comes to government spending. President Trump and Elon Musk held a press conference today at the White House amid everything that you know. I don't have to tell you how much they now hate Elon Musk. I think they hate Elon Musk, the left I'm talking about, the radical left. I think they hate him worse than Donald Trump. And that seems almost impossible. Like a year ago, if someone would have said, you know what, Steve, you're going to say on the radio on February 11th, 2025, you're going to say that they hate Elon Musk worse than they hate Donald Trump, I would have said, you need to check yourself into the loony bin and I'll bet you $1 million. And I would be $1 million poorer today because I think they do. Elon Musk is peeling away the scales from our eyes, to borrow an old biblical phrase, about the kind of waste and maybe even corruption and fraud in the United States government. In fact, I think it's pretty likely there is some of all of that. But listening to them talk today about how ridiculous some of the government processes are and how irresponsible this country's government has been with its money. I like to say sometimes when I hear something that seems like overwhelmingly too good to be true, I say, okay, here's the Steve rule. If a tenth of what they're saying is true, is there a story? And I say 100% there is. If a tenth of what they are finding with Doge is true, then we have a story of massive proportion. I think well more than 10% is true. I feel like most of it, if not all of it, is true. Certainly most. So we've got something that needs to be dug into here. And I'm so incredibly thankful that it is happening. And I just can't wait to see what in the world are they going to find before this is all done at the end of these next 4 years. The Doge clock on usdebtclock.org, this is maybe a little hypothetical, but it's all rooted in actual monetary calculation. They believe that Doge now, Elon Musk's team, has uncovered $83.8 billion of waste and fraud. $83.8 billion. And they've been at it for what, 2 weeks in earnest? So we are finding money that shouldn't be spent, or this is money saved, maybe is the way to look at this. And he's not apologizing for it. Neither is President Trump, neither man backing down. And they held a press conference today. I'm going to play this for you in the 5 o'clock hour. And I'm just going to tell you, I would not be so arrogant as to tell you that you need to stop whatever you're doing, set an alarm on your phone for 5:35 and make sure you're listening. But I will encourage you to do that because I think if you are like me or anything like me, where the biggest things that frustrate you are fraud, corruption, sloppiness, you're being told that one thing is something and it really is something else. These things all frustrate me a great deal. And the American fiscal picture from our government has been probably the biggest frustration that I've had with the entire governmental apparatus. And we are starting to see now the lights being shined into those dark corners and the rats are scurrying. And I love it. Like, put the IV needle into my arm and pour it into my veins, this stuff, because I can't get enough of it. I had to stop listening to this press conference today to finish getting ready for the show, and I cried a tear while I did because it was so good. I didn't want to pull myself away. So I'm going to play for you 15 minutes of it today, and you're going to hear them talking and giving specific examples of some things they are finding. And it's going to be very interesting to watch the liberals out of all this now. All they have is their hatred for the people that are involved. But if they are not careful, they are going to risk losing elections many times down the road, because the average American citizen, resident with the average intellect, is able to look at this and say, who are the bad guys here? It's not these two. It's not these two, but they're so delusional. And I've got a lot to say about this, and we'll do that as we go along the program here today. 701-271-1100 is the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. They've recently expanded and can get you in fast. They now offer counseling, occupational therapy, physical therapy, and a nurse practitioner. Make an appointment. Get in this week at valleychristian.co. 701-271-1100 is that phone number. You can email as well, studio@flagfamily.com. You can text me today, 701-237-1590. If you saw that press conference today, what's your big takeaway? What jumped out to you? Love to hear from you. And again, the phone line works great too. So a lot of different ways that you can get your voice heard on the program today. The Steve Hallstrom Studio is built on a solid foundation thanks to our sponsor, Precision Concrete Cutters around Jack North. Your home is your biggest asset. Protect it and go to PCCND.com to learn more. Let's get going here with a 4 o'clock wrap, semi-automatic storylines as we go rapid fire to catch you up on a busy and eventful day. February 11th, 2025 today, and the average high is 21. The average low is 2. Record high 55 degrees in 2002. Record low minus 35 in 1899. I think we got to minus 20 this morning. I did see minus 38 in far southwestern North Dakota. There was a minus 38 on Daryl Richardson's North Dakota Ag Weather Network map. And I heard Dean Wysocki earlier today say minus 53 wind chill down in Wahpeton. If we're doing climate change in our country, we're doing it wrong, because it is cold as heck. At least it was this morning. And we are in a nasty cold stretch. It's not going to warm up here for about another week and a half. It won't be quite this cold maybe, but it will be chilly. At least the sun is shining. I will give us that. Sunrise this morning, 7:37, sunset 5:46. We will gain 3 minutes and 3 seconds of daylight today. In the markets, a mixed day on Wall Street. The Dow was up 123 points to close at 44,593. The S&P 500 up 2 points to close at 6,068.50. The NASDAQ was down 70 to finish at 19,643. WTI crude oil today up 75 cents at 73.19. Gold today down $7.90 at $2,926. Silver down 23 cents to finish at $32.25. Bitcoin today down about $1,200 at $96,190. I will just give you one editorial note here on financial news sources. Besides Fox Business and maybe Yahoo Finance, they're pretty good too. But any of these other financial news sites, every other story is about how Trump's tariffs are going to bankrupt the country. Literally, every other story. I was on CNBC.com, who I use because they consolidate a lot of the data that I like to use here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. But they have in what they call the hero spot on websites, there are three main stories they give you. Like, here are the three headline stories. They give you a big photo. They give you a big slug line. Two of the three. GM expects to mitigate up to 50% of potential North American tariffs, which Ford describes as chaos. Okay, that's a headline. That's not an editorial page. That's a headline. And then another note, Ken Griffin is a noted stock market commentator, former CEO, worked on Wall Street. The other one says, Ken Griffin says Trump's bombastic trade rhetoric is a mistake that's eroding trust in the U.S. So this is what you still get. The Trump derangement syndrome knows no boundaries. I just wanted to point that out to you in case you feel like venturing onto those websites. AAA says the average price of a gallon of regular unleaded gas nationwide is $3.14. In North Dakota, it's $2.97. South Dakota, $2.97 as well. Minnesota, $3.01. All right. In the news today, I have to start with this one. The Fargo PD held a memorial ceremony this morning to honor Officer Jason Mosier, who was killed in the line of duty February 11th, 2016. That's right, exactly 9 years ago. The ceremony included a flag lowering by the Fargo Police Honor Guard, remarks from Fargo Police Chief Dave Zabolski, and Police Chaplain Pastor Sarah Siebold, plus a tribute video commemorating Officer Mosier's service and sacrifice. To Rachel and the rest of the Mosier family, we love you guys. We continue to pray for you, keep you in our thoughts, and hope that today is a day where another step of healing can take place. I imagine your family is never anywhere near the same after something like that, and so we think of them today. The forum reports that Morehead High and the Morehead School District had a meeting last night and tried to figure out how to make some cuts for the 2025-2026 school year. The school district has identified now, after last night's meeting, more than $4.2 million worth of cuts. Superintendent Brandon Lunak said the largest reduction is going to come in transportation with the cancellation of certain bus routes. There will be no layoffs, but the district will use attrition and shuffling of some employees into other positions. Fancy way of saying when someone leaves, they're just not going to replace that person. They'll make do and shuffle people around to cover. The plan also calls for reductions in overtime pay for transportation and custodial staff, delays in purchases of technology for students, and equipment for sports teams. So that is what's going to happen. They're going to try to come up with $4.2 million out of that combination of contributing sources. West Fargo Police, according to WDAYRadioNow.com, has chased 11 vehicles this year, the fleers, you might say. And the department is trying to figure out a way to stop drivers from considering doing that. And so Chief Pete Nielsen says the department, since they are used during a felony, these 11 vehicles can impound the vehicle. So going forward, the city is going to take ownership of the vehicle and sell it at auction. If the driver has a loan on the vehicle less than what it's worth, the city will sell the vehicle and keep the rest of the money. If the vehicle doesn't belong to the driver, the department will take that under consideration. But since the vehicle was used in a crime, the owner must have a compelling argument to get the vehicle back. Sounds like some good common sense being used over in West Fargo. A bipartisan group of lawmakers is supporting a bill to bring free school meals to all North Dakota students in public and private schools, reports KFYR-TV. House Bill 1553 will appropriate, or would appropriate, $140 million from the Legacy Fund to cover school lunches for the next 2 years. I say only this. There is a program out right now to pay for school lunches for kids that cannot afford it. What are we doing here? We're now paying for school lunches for people that can't afford it. I don't understand. I have questions. Bismarck Tribune today reports that a pair of anti-carbon capture bills have failed in the North Dakota State Senate. So these are bills that would try to derail carbon capture. These bills failed. So the people that want these projects all to come to a halt, we don't want any carbon solutions pipeline, they did not win today in the state legislature. Two Senate bills shot down today. Minnesota Republicans, says WDAY Radio, are asking U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi to investigate fraud in the state. In a letter sent to Bondi, Republican leaders led by Speaker Lisa Daymuth, Majority Leader Harry Nisca, and Fraud Prevention and State Agency Oversight Committee Chair Kristen Robbins say they want to inform Bondi of several years of rampant, unchecked fraud occurring in our state due to failed leadership by Governor Tim Walz, his agencies, and legislative Democrats. They say that so far this fraud has resulted in more than $600 million of resources not getting to Minnesotans in need. I don't know how much luck going to Pam Bondi on this, but where are they going to go to? Keith Ellison? He doesn't care. WDAY Radio reports that a $4 Powerball ticket sold at Don's Car Wash on 52nd Avenue in Fargo is the place where a lucky person bought a ticket that was worth $150,000. Don's Car Wash will get a $2,000 bonus for selling the ticket, and the ticket holder has 180 days to claim their prize. It was not me. I I think I've bought like 2 lottery tickets in my whole life. I figure my chances of winning are about the same either way. But then I see stories like that. I go, good on that person. Somebody's going to win $150,000. That's fantastic. The Associated Press reports the United States Department of Education took another step today in advancing the Trump administration's new transgender policy for sports by asking the NCAA and key high school sports organizations to restore titles, awards, and records it says have been, quote, misappropriated by biological males competing in female categories. They sent this to the National Federation of State High School Associations. Basically, they're trying to erase all of those records set by transgender athletes. I say absolutely. Why would we allow those to stand? Super Bowl 59 attracted a record 127.7 million viewers, according to ratings agency Nielsen. Advertisers bought commercials up to $8 million for a 30-second spot to get their message out on TV. And finally, do you remember Tyler Roll? Grew up in West Fargo, great running back for the Packers, covered him as a high school player, went to North Dakota State University, great running back at North Dakota State University. I still remember him running for a touchdown against the Gophers in the Metrodome, like 60 yards or so. Well, he was an assistant coach at NDSU, got a job at Iowa State last year, and now he's joining the Detroit Lions. This was reported by 24/7 Sports and CBSSports.com. I saw it in the forum. Credit to Jeff Kolpak for putting it on the forum where I saw it. But the Lions are expected to hire Tyler Roll as an offensive assistant coach. We don't know exactly what yet. He was the assistant head coach and running backs coach for Iowa State last year. They had a very good season, and I believe that he drew rave reviews for his leading of the offense. So congratulations, Tyler Roll. I hope it's true. I think he and Dan Campbell would see eye to eye. I feel like they're kind of two good old school football guys joining up in Detroit. And that's a look at some of the stories making headlines here on this Tuesday afternoon, 4:24 here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. When we return, the farmers should not be forgotten about. Some new information today reminds us just how important our ag sector is in North Dakota. I've got that for you coming up next. So I'm a farm kid, grew up on a hog and cattle farm in central Minnesota. Couldn't wait to leave the farm when I was young, and in my later years, I couldn't wait to go back. Just something about home. It grounds you. It's peaceful, the wide open skies. And the sweetest sound in my ears is the lowing of cattle. They say the cows moo, but they don't. Those of us that grew up on the farm know that. But they do have that wonderful sound of just love that. So you might be wondering where I'm going with this. So an industry report came out today that was presented by Governor Armstrong and the folks who run agriculture in the state. Doug Goring, Ag Secretary. And listen to this. The economic metrics for North Dakota agriculture, $41.3 billion of gross business volume done on average per year in North Dakota. $41 billion. There are 123,000 jobs in agriculture across this particular state. And I started thinking, you know, it would be interesting to compare that to the oil and natural gas industry. Because we always hear how important oil and natural gas is, and I think we all agree that that's a pretty big deal in our state. So I did a little searching of this. Here's what I found. Where I told you $41.3 billion in gross business volume for ag, in oil and gas, it's $42.6 billion. So almost identical, within $1.3 billion. Jobs, I told you that there were about 123,000 jobs in North Dakota, direct and secondary, so related in some way to agriculture. In energy, oil and gas, nearly 50,000 jobs. Very interesting. So, very similar on the top end, but even more jobs on the agriculture side. I've got one more for you, too. As far as local and state government revenues, $896 million in state and local government revenues, so $896 million Oil and gas, $3.8 billion in state and local tax revenues. So a big number there, about like four times higher on that side for oil and natural gas. However, my point still stands that agriculture is still kind of the OG of the economy in North Dakota, with $41 billion and more than 120,000 people working in agriculture. So I saw that press release come out today on the information that they gave to us from the ag meeting, and I just thought it'd be interesting to compare that to the oil and gas numbers. So there you go. A little comparison here for you today. 4:31, Steve Hallstrom Show. Austin Erickson is here from the Flag Family Newsroom. And he's been watching the Newswire today. Lots of interesting stuff going on today, Austin.
Yeah, definitely. A vehicle strikes a squad car during a late-night chase in West Fargo. Police say officers tried to stop a driver because of an open warrant and suspended license near the intersection of 3rd Avenue and 5th Street East around 11:30 Monday. The vehicle fled and officers did a pit maneuver near 1st Avenue and 7th Street East. The vehicle kept going and struck a squad car and parked vehicles on 10th Street East. No one was hurt. 23-year-old Elijah Belgard of Fargo was arrested on suspicion of fleeing, reckless endangerment, possession of drug paraphernalia, and an outstanding warrant. A passenger was released without charges. West Fargo police says the department has chased 11 vehicles this year for taking off during traffic stops, and the department has a plan to stop drivers from considering doing it. The department is seizing vehicles involved in pursuits. Chief Pete Nielsen says since they are used during a felony, the department can impound the vehicle. Once the driver is found guilty, the city will take ownership of the vehicle and sell it at auction. He adds if the driver has a loan on the vehicle less than what it's worth, the city will sell it and keep the rest of the money. Nielsen says if the vehicle doesn't belong to the driver, the department will take that under consideration. However, since the vehicle was used in a crime, Nielsen says the owner must have a compelling argument to get the vehicle back.
There's got to be a change, right? And we don't want these individuals pursuing our officers. You know, I don't want our officers pursuing these individuals. I want them to pull over. Like I said, 99% of the individuals who get pulled over, that's what I want them to do. I want them to pull over to the right-hand side of the road.
So that's an interesting plan from West Fargo Police.
Indeed it is. Desperate times, desperate measures, right? We've got to do something to deter the bad guys. So if you think you might lose your vehicle, well, that might prevent you from doing the deed in the first place.
And the chief also mentioned that most of the people that flee in his city in West Fargo aren't from town, have outstanding warrants, or have drugs in the vehicle, or are selling drugs.
Those might be some cool cars to have on the impound lot. You would think that they're not driving like a 98 Toyota Corolla if they're trying to flee an officer, and they've kept that car in really, really good condition. So probably some sweet wheels on that lot.
We'll have to see, because the department says they'll sell them at auction, and they said they have four or five already. So
okay, very good.
The president of Fargo-based True North Steel says there are concerns about President Donald Trump's 25% tariffs on aluminum and steel imports, but he believes the country will be better off because of the tariffs.
Biggest concern has been what happens to companies that are downstream, similar to like what we are, as we're a fabricator. And so the concern is that steel can come in from foreign countries like China and go to countries like Mexico or Canada and be fabricated and shipped into the U.S. at a much cheaper price.
Dan Kattermas says the tariffs help accomplish leveling the playing field in steel manufacturing. He says in 2024, the U.S. made 4.2% of the world's steel. China manufactured 53.4%, and the next closest country was India at 8%. Kattermas adds China increases steel production every year and aims to put the U.S. out of the steel business.
I heard this interview today, and I thought it was fascinating. I had no idea that China produced that much steel. What are we, like 4% of the world's steel?
4.2.
And they're 52, so that's 13 times more steel that they produce than we do. That's absolutely crazy. And then they export it, and it beats ours because the price is low. We got to figure all that out. I thought it was a really interesting interview. I'm glad that you picked up on it for a news story, because I thought it was really, and I don't think most of us know that. So interesting
stuff.
Right,
and Kattermas did mention that sometimes it is more expensive in the U.S. because we have stricter labor standards, and other things like that. So
yeah, we don't do slave labor here. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, very good. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Austin Erickson checking in from the Flag Family Newsroom with a look at our news headlines for the afternoon. 4:35 now, time to send it over to meteorologist Dean Wysocki, checking in the Skywatch Weather Center. He's got a look at the forecast for us. Dean?
Steve, it was a cold one out there today, and can you believe this morning we had wind chills at 53 below in Wahpeton. Unbelievably dangerously cold, and we're not going to see much relief as we head throughout the rest of the week, unfortunately. We'll continue to bottom out tonight under clear skies, about 15 to 20 below, very similar to what we had this morning with south winds at 5 to 10, pushing those wind chills down. Oh, about 25 to 40 below. Then rinse and repeat for the rest of the week. Wednesday and Thursday, sunshine, highs in the single digits, nighttime lows between 10 and 20 below. Now, Friday, we do bust into the double digits, highs around 12, but we'll have gustier south winds, and we could see a little bit of light snow from the 94 corridor southward. Not looking at much out of that. And then back into the deep freeze for the weekend with highs back into the single digits and lows between 10 and 20 below. Steve, I don't see much relief coming over the next week to 2 weeks. So we're stuck in a very, very cold pattern, but the main storm track does remain to our south, so at least we don't have any big snows in the forecast either.
Very good, sir. Thank you very much, Dean. Appreciate the update, as always. 4:36 here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. When we come back, it's a special week. Yes, it's Valentine's Day, but it's another reason to activate your heart for Giving Hearts Day. Excited to have Pat Trainer, Executive Director, Dakota Medical Foundation, to give us a preview. What is new? What are they shooting for this year, Giving Hearts Day? And where will they be originating the big soiree from? It's a different location this year. Should be a fun time. We'll preview all of that with Mr. Trainer when we come back on the Steve Hallstrom Show. If you own a building that is home to a business, if you own an event venue, a facility where there's just a lot of traffic, listen up now. CardCare Systems is your best choice for an ATM partner. You might not have even thought about this, but why not put an ATM in your place of business or in your venue? You just provide the location and CardCare Systems will handle the rest. And the best part is you get a share of the ATM fees. How great is that? You roll out of bed every morning, you make some money without lifting a finger. That's how it's done. I need to have some ATMs, come to think of it. Addison, how do we get an ATM, do you think? I suppose we call CardCare Systems is what we do, and they
sounds like a
figure
good
out how to do it. And they do it with lower credit card processing fees, which means you get to keep more of the money that rolls through there. They sell and service ATMs for area businesses as well. They love this community and have loved serving customers here for the last 28 years, and nobody provides better ATM customer service than CardCare Systems. Contact them to see if you qualify for their free 90-day placement program and start improving your bottom line today. Go to getmyatm.com. That's getmyatm.com or call 701-235-3090. Well, one of the highlights of our February here at Flag Family Media, WZFG The Flag, is to be able to basically take our entire operation and move it a few blocks over to the west and relocate for a day. And that's what we're going to be doing on Thursday. And because we absolutely love what happens at Giving Hearts Day every year, Pat Trainer is the executive director of Dakota Medical Foundation, one of the key voices, kind of the driving force behind Giving Hearts Day, one of the people that helped get this idea off the ground many years ago, and here we are in 2025, and this has become an absolute monster in our community, and it's so much fun. Pat, thanks for being here. Your emotions today, we're now just 2 days away from the big day.
Oh, listen, we're high on adrenaline at my team. You know, I'm surrounded by, and you've met my team, we're real blessed to hang out with each other. I have the best of the best, and so the emotions are really high.
We have them here. You have, you have a great team, we have a great team.
That's
right. Let's just say it that way.
Well, we really are blessed to surround ourselves with wonderful people. And, you know, these charities, we get to hang out with charities all the time. So throughout the whole year, there's over 600 charities in this year's Giving Hearts Day, 619 to be exact. Mm-hmm. I had the number wrong the other day. It's actually 619, which is unbelievable.
That's
there
crazy.
Were 40 that first year in 2008. Mm. So you think about 2008, 40 charities, and now there's 619. And, you know, I it's a testament to the great work the charities do. You know, they're friendraisers. We teach them how to be extraordinary friendraisers.
Tell their story.
Absolutely. An Impact Foundation was created by Dakota Medical and the Alex Stern Family Foundation to provide a permanent source of training, education, coaching for charities, how to have an extraordinary impact in the community. Fundraising is one of those. We teach boards of directors. You know, these charities have been working night and day to have a great fundraiser on Giving Hearts Day, but they work throughout the year. They secure major gifts. You know, we've never had more match gifts raised than this year, you know, over $12 million. I mean, we're so excited because
you got $12 million in the tank already.
The charities do. And the charities work, that's fundraising. That's having long-term relationships with wonderful people that step up and commit $1,000, $10,000, $50,000. I mean, we have some charities at $100,000, at $500,000 in matches raised by multiple generous families, generous businesses. You know, we also have tremendous businesses. There, some of them are your, you know, people that sponsor your shows. I mean, we have people that truly care about the good will of the community. And so we get to see this shine through Giving Hearts Day. You know, we see donors come in and want to give to every single charity.
No kidding.
Yes.
That's what that you go through that website and you're looking for something and no, without fail, you come across like, oh, they're on here too. Yeah, they $20, sure. By the time you get done, you're like, oh my word, it's crazy. I've got to ask you, Pat, you are surrounded by nonprofits, charities, whatever term you want to use. Nobody starts a nonprofit because they want to like do some paperwork for a hobby. They do it because they love people. They love a cause, but mostly it comes down to loving people. I've got to think that in some ways, yes, it's a job for you and your team, but I've got to think it never gets old when you're surrounded by those kinds of people that drive this.
It's an absolute energy lifter to hang out with the people that we get to hang out with. They're all making the world a better place in different areas. So whether, I always say, you know, it starts like at Ann Carlson with the A's, you know, in terms of the alphabetized list of Giving Hearts Day. They deal with special needs kids and the families. And how do you help these people have an absolutely full life to live to their greatest potential? And you go to Z for the zoo. So the A to the Z for the zoo. And then 618 in between there. So isn't that amazing? And so you have hospice, you have health care, you have children's charities, you have education. Lots of schools are in. And then let's talk about how, you know, people are experiencing addiction, mental health problems. There's all sorts of wonderful charities that deal with this and help people that are struggling get to hope, you know, and then get to independence and clear thinking and direction and ultimately a meaningful life. And that's really why we're here, is to make the world a better place. So these charities bring out the best in people, and donors are stepping up in droves to say, you know what? I want to be a part of one of these charities because I want to have a meaningful life and I want to serve my neighbor. So it really does come down to that, Steve.
I wish that all of you knew Pat the way I do, because not only is he a great spokesperson, a guy with a lot of energy, he's a great patriot, I can tell you that, and he's a believer. He's a man of faith. And how many conversations have we had, Pat, where you're on the phone literally in tears saying, we've got it. We need to make a difference with these people with the addictions and the mental health issues. And how do we reach out? How do we bring light to people? And so when you listen to this guy talk, it's not just words, and it's not a face that he puts on one day a year. You hate it when I talk about you like this, but you'll have to sit there and take it because it's true and people need to know this. But what keeps you, of all the things I talked about there, what keeps you going? Because you have to have days when budgetary issues and staff issues, I mean, you're a regular guy too, and you get the ups and downs of life. What keeps you going during those harder times?
Well, certainly the being guided by the light. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what, but I do surround myself with great people that are filled with light, you know, the Holy Spirit, it really, to be honest. And that is an energizing force. There is no truly other energizing force greater than that.
Yeah,
there's
not
tons,
like that.
Friends, family, faith, you know, our country. And, you know, we're very blessed to live where we do. We're very blessed to hang out with the people that we do. But ultimately, it's the light that guides all our ways.
Yeah.
And we experience turmoil. We experience adversity. And we can always go back to that guiding force, that guiding light. I mean, they called the Holy Spirit the Great Counselor.
Yeah,
because
right.
It's the Great Counselor. I mean, he's never wrong.
No,
and
we
he resides within each and every one of us. We just need to listen.
Yeah.
And sometimes we don't listen.
Correct. Our wives will tell us that, yeah. Right? So last year, $29.3 million was
yes.
the number raised on the financial side. And I said last year, I think I've said this for the last two or three years, I'm like, Lord Jesus, please bless us, but it's going to be hard this year. Inflation has been doing what it's been doing. The economy is tough. People that maybe don't have what they did. And sure enough, every single year, yeah. it eclipses what it did the last year. And not just in terms of the money raised, but also the number of volunteers that sign
yes.
up to get involved, too. How do we do it in this part of the world where it's always a little bit better than it was last year, no matter what the economy is looking like?
You know what? Because we ask. I mean, if you simply ask people to help, they will help. They might not have enough money this year, but you know what? We have food drives. They might not have food there, but they might give their time. So we have thousands of volunteer opportunities. You know, this is the world today we live in where people are isolated. People need human connection. So we want to invite everybody to come to Giving Hearts Day to be involved as a volunteer, as an ambassador. There are all these charities. You know, if you want a meaningful life, you're called to be a part of one of these volunteer organizations because really they don't survive without people, right?
Yes.
They don't survive, and they thrive when people follow them and are ambassadors for
yes.
them. The food is a big thing this year. So we have these Henry the Heart food drives. Do you know that we now have 159 locations. Go to our website, givingheartsday.org. And they're all over. These are food drive locations where you can go drop off food to fill up the emergency food pantries, the Great Plains Food Bank, the
yeah.
churches, the places that are out. Churches United be a great one. Do you know that there's so much need there? They don't have enough food.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're having an event tonight.
Yes.
You know, they need our help, but a lot of charities need our help. And so there's something that connects with everyone.
You know, and you and I have talked a lot about mental health, and so many of our people, especially our young people, have issues with anxiety and depression. But you know what? Giving and volunteering, giving of yourself and going, spending time, you think you're going to be a blessing to someone else. And many times you get to do that. But your spirit and your soul gets lifted by doing that. It's like the secret of mental health that people don't talk about nearly enough. Go help somebody else.
Yes. Meaning and purpose.
Yeah.
You know, if they could bottle it, it would solve 95%. If it were a drug, it would solve 95% of our,
that's right.
of our health or our mental health and well-being
yep.
problems.
So get out and sign up for something
and get
there.
Connected.
And get
with
connected.
People, you
yes.
know, that are like-minded, that want to do good for others.
Yep.
I mean, this is the time to do that. But you can connect with them throughout the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
Families should create traditions around giving, volunteering, dropping off food stuff around the Giving Hearts Day season, and then make it contagious throughout the whole year.
That's a great idea. I want to ask you about what you're seeing so far. You told 29.3, and I know the
yep.
volunteer and all that is a very important number, but the number that's fun for us news people to talk about is the money number.
Yeah.
29.3. Do you know enough about like the pacing of some of your match money and early gifts? I'm not going to ask you to give away any details here that you don't want to give away, although if you want to, that makes for good radio.
Yeah.
But do you know, based on what you're seeing so far, that, yeah, we got a shot at hitting 29.4 this year or higher?
Yes. I mean, we feel very good. The charities feel very good. You know, there's a timing issue with major gifts. Major gifts always help. You know, they help get you over a $50,000, a $25,000, a $10,000. So we call on all people to step up and give to these charities directly. If you're going to give a big gift, we recommend not online. We say go direct to the charity.
Yeah.
We serve as concierge givers for a lot of people here in Fargo-Moorhead. For sure. They're coming in droves, you know, coming to the new foundation offices, and we have to use a temporary door because we're under construction. But we're seeing so much generosity. We have a good feel for it. The number of gift cards are up in the thousands, you know, so that's particularly a good sign. We also know the match, like I said, is up a bit from last year. It's over $12 million in matches. And again, we teach charities and coach them how to raise match funding. This has grown way beyond DMF's ability to match all donations at all. In the first years, we did a lot of matching. Now we do a heck of a lot more in the golden tickets. You know, you can win two $20,000 gifts for your favorite charity and Giving Hearts Day.
So fun.
oh, there's so many ways to succeed. So it's, the numbers look good, Steve.
It's never been more fun to give than what these guys have done with this organization. Just go, you can go to givingheartsday.org, very easy website to find it there. Early giving is now open. If you want to be like me and wait till the day of, it's just so much fun to do it that day. But either way, make sure that you get involved somehow, some way, and you will not regret it. You never miss a penny that you give. The Lord just works that way. You can't outgive God is what we say here. And so this is a great opportunity to jump in. Pat, thank you for being here today. Thanks again for what you and your team do in the community, and can't wait for Thursday.
Thank you. We look forward to seeing you.
Pat Trainer, Executive Bye-bye. Director, Dakota Medical Foundation, here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. When we return, we got more to do before we finish the this hour of the show. I shed a tear this morning as I read about another regional newspaper closing its doors. We'll talk about that coming up next. The Crookston Times is closing up shop. Valley News Live with this story today. A message on their website reads, to the Crookston Times readers, it's with regret that Cherry Road Media announces the closing of the Crookston Times. Our company is dedicated to the preservation of community journalism. Since the purchase of our first paper in late 2020 to today, we prided ourselves on our ability to fight the difficult battle that newspapers face today in our digital society. Unfortunately, that battle cannot always be won. The Crookston Times has struggled in recent years to find its footing in this community. Since purchasing the Crookston Times, Cherry Road Media has been unable to avoid financial losses every month. The paper was losing money when we bought it, and it continued to do so. We must now come to terms with the fact that we do not have a path forward to sustainability, and we thank those who have supported us. This hits close to home for me because we bought a newspaper out in Watford City a few years back. We've enjoyed the experience. We love doing business out there. It's a wonderful part of the world. It's the only active media in Watford City, McKenzie County. There are other places that get in there, Minot, Williston, Bismarck, places like that, that sort of reach it in some way or another, but it is the only news source coming right out of Watford City, one of the catalysts in energy exploration and development, certainly in the Bakken region, if not the whole country. But it's tough. It is. We have recently made a change out there to go from being a weekly newspaper to being a daily news source. It was difficult. It's a little bit of a roll of the dice. There's uncertainty there, but we believe that if there is good content, people will want to find it. I'm on the forums website multiple times a day because as much as I love our news team and our people, the forum is the best news source in town. They just are. They are somehow still in business. They have to be making money somehow to pay all their people and keep the lights on. But we think good content that's delivered daily on a mobile app that people can get access anytime with compelling things like live weather, radar, and things like that is the way to go. But I am sad whenever a newspaper has to close its doors. Hour two of the Steve Hallstrom Show coming up next. The Fargo PD honoring a late officer this morning. We'll have that next. The Steve Hallstrom Studio is built on a solid foundation thanks to our sponsor, Precision Concrete Cutters and Ramjack North. Your home is your greatest asset. Protect it and go to PCCND.com to learn more. You might be wondering on this program, because I've told you before that I don't sell the segments on my show. Like, you can't buy 10 minutes to talk on the Steve Hallstrom Show. I did that when we started this show out back a year and a half ago. Well, getting closer to 2 years ago now. I said, I just want to make sure this always stays a show that when someone turns it on and is listening to the program, that they can say, this must be what Hallstrom thinks we need to hear about. So, indeed, I had Pat Trainer on the program here a few minutes ago. I want you to know that's not a paid segment. But I am so exuberant about what they are doing. I'm so excited for Giving Hearts Day because of the good they do in this community. I mean, if we could track every dollar that's raised through Giving Hearts Day through the community, see what it really does and how these dollars help people, these organizations, I think we would be amazed. Now, I'm going to be over at Giving Hearts Day on Thursday. I'll do my show from over there. But if we do have interviews, we'll make them like we typically do. You can buy a couple minutes here and there along the way. But as far as a full segment of the program where we're going for 10 or 15 minutes, I just thought that would be helpful for you to know that it's something that I am going to try to keep that going as long as we can here on this program, so that when you tune in, you know that it's our goal. Our number one goal is just to give you information as quick as we can about the things that we think you need to know about. So I just wanted to mention that to you here today in case you're wondering about the chat we just did with Pat. Enjoy that man very much and what he brings to our community every day. 5:10 here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. It's time for the top five at five. The five most consequential stories in the news cycle today. These are stories that pass the so what test for me. It's brought to you by Nancy Kelly Realty. Go to nancykellyrealty.com and find out more about Colfax Meadows, where small town living is still a thing. Story number one, the Department of Homeland Security put out a statistic today that I thought was interesting. It says that in the first 2 weeks of President Trump's second term, nearly 5,700 illegal immigrants had been deported. Newsweek is reporting this today, and Newsweek says if the new administration continues at that clip, one expert told Newsweek, it would be on track to deport half the number of migrants removed during former President Joe Biden's last full fiscal year in 2024. Now, I have some questions about this, and I have some points to make. So point number one, Donald Trump has been at it for exactly 3 weeks. As much as you can do executive orders, start talking, visiting, making speeches, do all your presidential things, in order to actually get somebody in custody, get them to a holding area, I guess they're opening up Guantanamo again, and get them actually deported, I don't think that happens overnight. So I'm just saying that while we are in such a hurry to try to find a way to say how ineffective President Trump is, Newsweek, let's just have a little patience. We are 3 weeks into this thing. So let's just take a deep breath. I also want to know, when they say that Joe Biden removed twice that many, I want to know what that means and how we're defining deport. Because there's a lot of ways, I think, that you could measure that. Are you deporting by, what does that mean? Turning someone away at the border? Is that deporting? Is it coming across and pushing people back out the door? I don't know. All I know is that traffic at the border is slowed down like 90%. And to me, that's a leading indicator of how successful you're going to be at preventing people from coming into your country. So Newsweek, I'm going to need a little more information than that. Story number two, Morehead High and Morehead School, Public Schools, excuse me, has now come up with its plan for eliminating more than $4.2 million worth of expenses for the 2025-2026 academic school year. You might remember that voters turned down a capital projects levy referendum in November. And because of that, they're going to have to do some of that work, and that means they're going to have to borrow money from other places. So Superintendent Brandon Lunick says the largest reduction is going to come in transportation with the cancellation of certain bus routes. Affected families will need to find other ways to get their kids to and from school. There will not be any layoffs, but they will use attrition and shuffling employees into other positions to reduce staff. There will also be reductions in overtime pay for transportation and custodial staff and delays in purchases of technology for students and equipment for sports teams. This coming from the forum today, who outlined the areas. And by doing those things, they believe that will help them get their $4.2 million off the books in 2026. Story number three comes today from... who put this out? I should know this when I'm doing this here. Looks like a Reuters story. The point of this story is that 93% of Gen Zers, these are the young ones, are using artificial intelligence at work. It's giving them a huge advantage, the story says. They say that Gen Z workers are embracing AI to free up their time, improve their work-life balance, and ideally make their jobs more meaningful by automating drudgeries. When a survey came out recently showing more than 1,000 workers in their 20s and 30s, 93% of Gen Z said they were using two or more AI tools a week. One person said that this person in their story of how they use artificial intelligence, they are using it for research, formatting emails, and also transcribing things so that you get a readout and most important pieces from a conversation based on some criteria that you put into the formula there. So I don't know that I use anything that would be described as artificial intelligence, and I probably need to look into this a little bit more. The whole thing's a little scary at first, but when you think about it, transcribing conversations to turn into news articles, something like that, can be very helpful. I'm a little particular on my email, so I don't use anything to help generate an email. But I know that there are certain people that are friends of mine who do use that. Drafting emails, double checking spreadsheets, things like that. So revising social media profiles. I don't know. Maybe I should be revising my profiles more often than I do. I just thought that was interesting. 93%. So most of kids in their 20s and teens who are working professionally are using that. I thought that was interesting. The United States Department of Education took another step today, advancing the Trump administration's new transgender policy for sports by asking the NCAA and the National Federation of State High School Associations to restore titles, awards, and records that have been broken by biological males competing in female competitions. Absolutely fantastic. The department's Office of General Counsel sent a letter requesting the changes to the two organizations there, consistent with the NCAA's new policy, which, as you know, they announced last week after the president said what he said and decreed what he decreed. And finally today, I've got to put this in our top five of five. How can we, on February 11th of any year, not have this in the top five at five? The Fargo PD held a memorial ceremony this morning to honor Officer Jason Mosier, who was killed in the line of duty on this day 9 years ago. There was a flag lowering by Fargo Police Honor Guard, remarks from Chief David Zabolski and Police Chaplain Pastor Sarah Siebold. There was also a tribute video commemorating Officer Mosier's service and sacrifice. We think of Rachel and the kids on this day, and our prayers and best wishes, many blessings to them, for they have truly made the ultimate sacrifice along with their dad and their husband, and we will eternally be thankful and grateful to the Mosier family. 517 here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Before we get to commercial break, let's bring in Steve to the conversation. He wants to talk about the article about Joe Biden removing migrants from the country, and he joins us on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, hey, so you're like the second person I heard talk about that article. I haven't a chance to read it, but did they actually say they removed them from the country or removed illegals? Because in my experience, these people are very good at misleading and letting people draw conclusions that isn't true. So if they removed them, moved them from the border, yeah, but where did they remove them to? Chicago, New York?
The number or the phrasing that was said in this is we're talking about the numbers of migrants deported. So according to what's happened so far, they're saying Trump is on track to deport, quote, half the number of migrants. And deport is a specific word used there. So like you say, and I try to make a similar point, I don't know if they're talking, like, what does deport mean to the person writing the story? That we don't know.
But finish that. When they talk about Biden, did they use the word deport or did they say remove?
No, Biden was deport.
Biden was deport, okay.
Yes.
Well, that's kind of odd, but again, deport from where? Deport from the border to New
exactly.
York?
Exactly. Yeah, it's just hard to put a lot of stock in that, and so many times you find out later on, they say, well, there have been less border crossings because they're flying people in, right? I mean, we've seen those kind of tricks going on.
Yeah, that's right. I'm just trying to make a point. It's like, I don't believe it because, for one, how come nobody was protesting him sending people back home? So
Yeah, 100% right.
There was no protest about Biden sending people back home because he wasn't.
Yeah, well, and again, I'll say this. They're talking about the first 2 weeks under Donald Trump. My gosh. The first 2 weeks of any new administration, and you got to round them up. You got to get them processed. You got to, figure out where they're going to go. None of that happens overnight. So I think we all need to just calm down a little bit on this whole thing. So thank you, Steve, for calling, bud. I appreciate it.
Well, and the other thing is, if you're still there?
Yeah.
If Biden was actually doing that, then it wouldn't be going as slow as they're insinuating right now, because all the tools would have been in place to do what Trump is doing.
Yeah, fair point, too. Yeah.
All right. Yep.
Bye. Okay, thanks, Steve. Appreciate the call. All right, 520 here on the Steve Alsham Show. I want to talk a little farming when we come back, and not just for farming purposes. I want to talk about the price that you're paying for food in the grocery store. It all ties together. We'll do that coming up next. As you know, I love heading out to Watford City. I grew up on a farm, hog and cattle farm in central Minnesota. So farm kids, getting out to a place where cattle ranching is such a big deal. It's such a big part of the culture out there in Watford City. Just fun to be out there when they've got big ag shows going on. They had their farm and ranch show going on last week when I was there. Had a chance to talk to a couple of cattle ranchers, actually guys that raise bulls and sell them to other ranchers who want to make sure that they continue producing calves. And so I had a chance to talk to a couple of guys and got some comments from them for a story that I wrote for the McKenzie County Farmer. If you're interested, my story is up on am1100theflag.com. If you are interested in farming, ranching at all, or just like kind of, getting information about where our food comes from and why it's as expensive as it is, there might be some good information in there for you. Some things that I was surprised to learn as I researched for this story, U.S. Department of Ag says that cattle supplies are down year over year by about 1% from 2024, January 1 of 2024 to January 1 of 2025. There are about 87 million head of cattle in the country. That was as of the beginning of this year. There have been some pretty significant drought events over the last 5 to 6 years or so that have really knocked herd levels down in a lot of places, Wyoming, western North Dakota. And, a lot of those ranchers, they rely on having pasture that gets rain every once in a while. And what was that, 4 or 5 years ago, we had that horrible drought on western North Dakota. And a lot of guys, what are you going to do? Your cows are going to they're going to waste away. And so a lot of guys sold a lot. And so because of it, we're still kind of growing back. But in North Dakota, the numbers are looking a little better. Numbers of cattle rose last year from the year before, up 1%. But there's about 1.7 million head of cattle in North Dakota. And numbers are up pretty much across the board. Cows, heifers, bulls, and steers. If you're not familiar with the terminology, a bull is a male that's not had his parts removed. A cow is a female that's been bred. A heifer has not yet been bred, and a steer is a castrated male. Okay, so that's what we're talking about there. So all across the board, there's been pretty good numbers. Pretty much everything up a little bit. But one number I thought was interesting: bulls. We're totaling 55,000 head. That's up 10% from last year. So we've got a good increase in our bull population in North Dakota, and that's a pretty good thing right there. Another interesting piece that I found in researching this was about food prices and beef, what you're finding in the store there. So and one of the guys I talked to mentioned that he is concerned about this. Blake Wold is the rancher that I talked to from the Watford City area. And the USDA, I found out for the story, reports that beef prices average $8.01 a pound. That's the second highest level in history. Ground beef, if you go back to 2020, was about $4.12 a pound. Now it's $5.21. So we've had a 20-25% increase, just like a lot of other things. And one of the ranchers I talked to, this Wold guy, said, you got to wonder if some of these people that are consumers of beef? Are they going to find another protein source if beef gets too expensive? He said, quote, the consumer is the person we have to base everything on because the end product is going to your consumer. So are we going to price people out of eating beef more so than other things? I think that's an industry issue no matter what breed of cattle you're raising. But if we can keep educating people on the benefits of beef, we should be good. I thought there's a lot of wisdom to that. I think the beef industry needs to continue to make that case, just like pork, about how valuable that meat product is. I mean, there's nothing like lean beef when you consider all of the benefits of it, the protein and the nutrients, the minerals, plus it fills you up. And, you know, our granddads and grandmas ate beef all the time, beef and pork, and they lived good, full lives as well. So I know this, when I go to the store and look at a nice filet steak, it's like $25 a pound in the store, and I've seen places selling it for $30. And that's the problem. You're just not going to be able to sell that. It's tough. You can find some pretty good cuts. A flank steak is a nice way to go. It's a nice cut, maybe a little more marbling than the sirloin, but you can find a good sirloin, like a bone-in sirloin. Those cook up nice and tender too. So keep eating beef. And the industry is trying to figure out more ways to keep more beef products coming to you at a reasonable price as well. It's tough for those guys, though, because all their input costs are up, too. Insurance and interest rates on loans and fertilizer and feed, all those things. Anything you got to buy, it's more expensive, so it won't be easy for anybody going forward. All right, when we come back on the program, we got to check on news and weather, but then common sense has returned and the rats are running for the exit, says fraud and corruption is exposed in Washington, D.C., the problem is the rats are not scurrying for the exits. The rats are protesting, not that there's corruption, but that somebody found it. We'll talk about this and a blockbuster press conference from President Trump and Elon Musk coming up next. All right, this is good, but it's a little long. I think you're going to love it, though, so I'm going to get right to it. Today in Washington, D.C., President Trump held a press conference with Elon Musk surrounding all of these accusations that Elon Musk is doing horrible things, getting all this personal information about Americans, private health information. He's not an elected official. There's all kinds of horrible things that are going to happen. Well, Trump and Elon met the media today, and Elon, I will tell you that he had his little boy there who was kind of making some noise in the background. I don't think it's too distracting, but that's what you're hearing there in the background. Elon Musk started talking about how important this whole DOGE effort is because we are going broke as a country.
So we've got a $2 trillion deficit, and if we don't do something about this deficit, the country's going bankrupt. I mean, it's really astounding that the interest payments alone on the national debt exceed the Defense Department budget, which is shocking because we spend a lot of money on defense. But if that just keeps going, we're essentially going to bankrupt the country. So what I really want to say is, like, it's not optional for us to reduce the federal expenses. It's essential. It's essential for America to remain solvent as a country. And it's essential for America to have the resources necessary to provide things to its citizens and not simply be servicing vast amounts of debt.
And also, could you mention some of the things that your team has found, some of the crazy numbers, including the woman that walked away with about $30 million,
right,
et cetera?
Well, we do find it sort of rather odd that, you know, there are quite a few people in the bureaucracy who have ostensibly a salary of a few hundred thousand dollars, but somehow managed to accrue tens of millions of dollars in net worth.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
While they are in that position, which is, you know, what happened to USAID. We're just curious as to where it came from. Maybe they're very good at investing, in which case we should take their investment advice, perhaps. But there seems to be mysteriously they get wealthy. We don't know why. Where does it come from? I think the reality is that they're getting wealthy at the taxpayer expense. That's the honest truth of it. So, you know, we're looking at, if you look at, say Treasury, for example, basic controls that should be in place, that are in place in any company.
Listen to this.
Such as making sure that any given payment has a payment categorization code, that there is a comment field that describes the payment. And that if a payment is on the do not pay list, that you don't actually pay it. None of those things are true currently.
None of those things are true currently. None.
So the reason that departments can't pass audits is because the payments don't have a categorization code. It's like just a massive number of blank checks just flying out the building. So you can't reconcile blank checks. You've got comment fields that are also blank, so you don't know why the payment was made. And then we've got this truly absurd, a do not pay list, which can take up to a year for an organization to get on a do not pay list. And this, we're talking about terrorist organizations, we're talking about known fraudsters, known aspects of waste, known things that do not match any congressional appropriation, can take up to a year to get on the list, and even once on the list is not used.
Unreal.
It's mind-blowing. So what we're talking about here, we're really just talking about adding common sense controls that should be present that haven't been present. So you say, like, well, how could such a thing arise? That seems crazy. When you understand that really everything is geared towards complaint minimization, so that then you understand the motivations. So if people receive money, they don't complain, obviously.
Yep.
But if people don't receive money, they do complain. And the fraudsters complain the loudest and the fastest. So then when you understand that, then it makes sense. Oh, that's why everything they approve all the payments at Treasury. Because if you approve all the payments, you don't get complaints. But now we're saying that, no, actually, we are going to complain. If money is spent badly, if your taxpayer dollars are not spent in a sensible and frugal manner, then that's not okay. Your tax dollars need to be spent wisely on things that matter to the people. I mean, these things, like, it's just common sense. It's not, it's not draconian or radical, I think. It's really just saying, let's look at each of these expenditures and say, is this actually in the best interest of the people? And if it is, it's approved. If it's not, we should think about it. So, you know, there's crazy things like just cursory examination of Social Security, and we've got people in there that are 150 years old.
Oh.
Now, do you know anyone that's 150? I don't. Okay. They should be on the Guinness Book of World Records.
Yeah,
they're messing out. So, you know, that's a case where, like, I think they're probably dead. It's my guess. Or they should be very famous, one of the two. And then there's a whole bunch of Social Security payments where there's no identifying information. Well, like, why is there no identifying information? Obviously, we want to make sure that people who deserve to receive Social Security do receive it.
Yes.
And that they receive it quickly and accurately. Also, another crazy thing. So, you know, one of the things is, like, we are trying to sort of right-size the federal bureaucracy, just make sure that this... Obviously, there need to be a lot of people working for the federal government, but not as many as currently.
Sure.
So we're saying, well, okay, well, let's, if people can retire, you know, with full benefits and everything, that would be good. They can retire, get their retirement payments, everything. And then we were told, this is actually, I think, a great anecdote, because we were told the most number of people that could retire possibly in a month is 10,000. We're like, well, why is that? Well, because all the retirement paperwork is manual. On paper, it's manually calculated, then written down on a piece of paper. Then it goes down a mine. And I'm like, what do you mean a mine? Like, yeah, there's a limestone mine where we store all the retirement paperwork.
You look at a picture
of this mine. We'll post some pictures afterwards. And this mine looks like something out of the 50s because it was started in 1955. So it looks like it's like a time warp. And then the limiting factor is the speed at which the mine shaft elevator can move determines how many people can retire from the federal government. And the elevator breaks down sometimes, and then nobody can retire. Doesn't that sound crazy?
Okay, I've got to stop here. This can't be true. This can't be true. It just can't, no matter how dysfunctional we are. This is. I'm going to have to read into this more. I'm not calling the man a liar. It just seems impossible to be true. But he's. I. He did not mix his words there. He was pretty clear about what needs to happen. Amazing.
There's like 1,000 people that work on this. So I think if we take those people and say, like, you know what, instead of working in a mine shaft and carrying manila envelopes to, you know, boxes in a mine shaft, you could do practically anything else. And you would add to the goods and services of the United States in a more useful way. So anyway, so I think, you know, that's an example. Like at a high level, if you say, like, how do we increase prosperity? Is we get people to shift from roles that are low to negative productivity to high productivity roles. And so you increase the total output of goods and services, which means that there's a higher standard of living available for everyone. Mm-hmm. That's the actual goal.
And remember that a government job is a non-productive job. It doesn't produce anything in government. They are administrative jobs. Big difference there.
Everyone's very quiet.
Your detractors, Mr. Musk. Including a lot of Democrats.
I have detractors?
You do, sir.
I don't believe it.
Say that you're orchestrating a hostile takeover of government and doing it in a non-transparent way. What's your response to that criticism?
Well, first of all, you couldn't ask for a stronger mandate from the public. The public voted, we have a majority of the public voting for President Trump. We won the House, we won the Senate. The people voted for major government reform. There should be no doubt about that. That was on the campaign. The president spoke about that at every rally. The people voted for major government reform, and that's what the people are going to get. They're going to get what they voted for. And a lot of times, people that don't get what they voted for, but in this presidency, they are going to get what they voted for. And that's what democracy is all about.
Mr. Musk, the White House says that you will identify and excuse yourself from any conflicts of interest that you may have. Does that mean that you are, in effect, policing yourself? What are the checks and balances that are in place to ensure that there is accountability and transparency?
No. Well, we actually are trying to be as transparent as possible. In fact, our actions, we post our actions to the Doge handle on X and to the Doge website. So all of our actions are maximally transparent. In fact, I don't think there's been, I don't know of a case where an organization has been more transparent than the Doge organization. The kind of things we're doing are, I think, very, very simple and basic. What I mentioned, for example, about Treasury, just making sure that payments that go out, taxpayer money that goes out, is categorized correctly, that the payment is explained, that organizations on the do not pay list, which are takes a lot to get there, that actually are not paid, which currently they are paid. These are not individual judgment decisions. These are about simply having sensible checks and balances in the system itself to ensure that taxpayer money is spent well. So it's got nothing to do with, like, say, a contract for some company of mine at all.
But if there is a conflict of interest when it comes to you yourself, for instance, you've received billions of dollars in federal contracts. When it comes to the Pentagon, for instance, which the president, I know, has directed you to look into.
Fair question.
Are you policing yourself in that? Is there any sort of accountability check and balance in place that would provide any transparency for the American people?
Well, all of our actions are fully public. So if you see anything, you say, like, wait a second, hey, Elon, that seems like maybe that's, you know, there's a conflict there. I don't like people are going to be shy about saying that. They'll say it immediately.
Including you yourself.
Yes. But transparency is what builds trust, not simply somebody asserting trust, so not somebody saying they're trustworthy, but transparency, so you can see everything that's going on. And then you can see, am I doing something that benefits one of my companies or not?
Makes sense.
It's totally obvious.
Good answer.
And if we thought that, we would not let him do that segment or look in that area. If we thought there was a lack of transparency or a conflict of interest. And we watched that also. He's a big businessman. He's a successful guy. That's why we want him doing this. We don't want an unsuccessful guy doing this. Now, one thing also that Elon hasn't really mentioned are the groups of people that are getting some of these payments. They're ridiculous. And we're talking about billions of dollars that we've already found. We found fraud and abuse. I would say those two words as opposed to the third word that I usually use, but in this case, fraud and abuse. Okay. It's abusive because most of these things are virtually made up, or certainly money shouldn't be sent to them. And you know what I'm talking about. It's crazy. So, but we're talking about tens of billions of dollars that we've already found. And now a judge is an activist judge. wants to try and stop us from doing this. Why? Why would they want to do that? I campaigned on this. I campaigned on the fact that I said government is corrupt. And it is very corrupt. It's very, very, it's also foolish. As an example, a man has a contract for 3 months and the contract ends, but they keep paying him for the next 20 years, you know, yeah. because nobody ends a contract. You get a lot of that. You have a contract that's a three-month contract. Now, normally, if you're in a small, in all fairness, it's the size of this thing is so big.
Yeah.
But if you have a contract and you're in a regular business, you end the contract in 3 months. You know, it's a consultant. Here's a contract for 3 months, but it goes on for 20 years.
Okay, I want to stop there. This is a huge part of it. And I don't know how many of these deals there are, but if there's one, right, it's worth pointing out, it's worth fixing. The problem with government is nobody's ever in a cash crunch. Because they're just going to take more tax money if they need it. So they never have to look at these things and say, are we paying somebody that really we should have stopped paying on a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago? But who's looking at that? You'd hope that there's controls in place, but who's auditing that? And what is the thing that's going to make somebody say, we got to get serious about our expense management in the government? In private business, we do it all the time because we don't have a never-ending supply of revenue. In private business, but the federal government does. So there's never that point of, boy, we better take a look at this because we got to figure out how we're going to find this money somehow.
And the guy doesn't say that he got money for 20 years, you know? They don't say it. They just keep getting checks month after month, and you have various things like that, and even much worse than that, actually, much worse. And I guess you call that incompetence, maybe.
Yeah.
It could be corruption. It could be a deal's made on both sides, you know, where... Yeah, I guess the money he kicks. I think he has a lot of kickback here. Mm. I see a lot of kickback here.
There's a lot of kickbacks.
Yeah, tremendous kickback because nobody could be so stupid to give out some of these contracts. Yeah. So he has to get a kickback. So that's what I got elected for, that and borders and military and a lot of things. But this is a big part of it. And I hope that the court system is going to allow us to do what we have to do. We got elected to among other things, find all of this fraud, abuse, all of this horrible stuff going on. And we've already found billions of dollars, not like a little bit, billions, many billions of dollars. And when you get down to it, it's going to be probably close to $1 trillion. It could be close to $1 trillion that we're going to find. That will have quite an impact on the budget. Yes. And you'll go to a judge where they handpick a judge and he has certain leanings. I'm not knocking anybody for that, but he has certain leanings, and he wants us to stop looking. How do you stop looking? I mean, we've already found it. We have a case in New York where a hotel has paid $59 million, $59 million because it's housing migrants, illegal migrants, all illegal, I believe.
And they were being paid twice the normal room rate at 100% occupancy.
Unbelievable.
So it's a racket.
Mr. Musk, I'm going to ask a question.
If I may sort of just going for the president's comments, at a high level, okay, what are the two ingredients that are really necessary in order to cut the budget deficit in half from $2 trillion to $1 trillion? And it's really two things, competence and caring. And if you add competence and caring, you'll cut the budget deficit in half. And I fully expect to be scrutinized and get a daily proctology exam, basically. Might as well just camp out there. So it's not like I think I can get away with something. I'll be scrutinized nonstop. But with the support of the president, we can cut the budget deficit in half from $2 trillion to $1. And then with deregulation,
yes.
There's a lot of sort of... regulations that don't ultimately serve the public good.
Yes.
We need to free the builders of America to build.
Yes.
And if we do that, that means I think we can get the economic growth to be maybe 3-4%, maybe 5%. And that means if you can get $1 trillion of economic growth and you cut the budget deficit by $1 trillion between now and next year, there is no inflation. There's no inflation in 26. And if the government is not borrowing as much, it means that interest costs decline. So everyone's the mortgage, their car payment, their credit card bills, anything, their student debt, the monthly payments drop. That's a fantastic scenario.
Yes, it is.
for the average American.
It's fantastic stuff. Good stuff today from the president and Elon Musk. When we come back on the program, a couple finishing notes here for you on the Steve Hallstrom Show. We'll be right back. I just can't tell you how good it feels to hear people in the White House, in the Oval Office, saying the things they were saying, looking at this foolish spending and all this waste, corruption, and just sloppiness. Maybe it's not even any ill intent, just sloppiness. I think there are some fair questions to be asked about Elon Musk. And, you know, could he route money to something of his own benefit? Yes, that's possible, I suppose. And it's good to talk about this stuff. We don't have to expect that he is. We have to have a bias toward what are you trying to get away with. But I think it's good to know you got to have those guardrails in place, no doubt about that. But like you said, you know, he's probably the most scrutinized guy in the country right now, more so than Donald Trump. And, you know, they're trying to be as transparent as they can. At least that's what they say. And I have no reason not to believe them. They're trying to do the right things. Even if they get 75% to what they want to do, it's going to be such a major step in the right direction. Elon Musk didn't need this job to make money. If that's what he got into this job for, to make money, he's doing it the wrong way. He can do much better than this in the private sector. I'm glad that he's doing what he's doing. I'm glad that the president is doing what he's doing as well. And there's a lot of people that just hate Donald Trump, so now they hate Elon Musk, and they don't even really know why. It's just they're hardwired to believe that. So I thought that was fantastic. I hope you enjoyed that too. All right, my friend, have a great rest of the night. Appreciate you being with me here on the Steve Hallstrom Show, back in studio tomorrow. Who knows what crazy thing will happen between now and then? We'll see you then, folks. Take care and keep on flying that flag.